The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm. Sean Quinn, John Budden and Mark Slater will be the team in the studio. A good day to look forward to on Friday. It's the first jumps fixture of the new season at Cheltenham, the first day of the showcase meeting. We also have racing on the flat from Haydock and Redcar in the afternoon and two all-weather meetings in the evening. We have Wolverhampton domestically and Dundalk over in Ireland. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark. Nice, finally stopped down in this part of the world, got some sunshine this morning.
Good, good. Are you close to Ascot down there? Just whereabouts are you in the country?
We'd be about an hour and a half out of Ascot, or an hour, depending on how you drive. an hour. but yeah, we're not a million miles away. Obviously, in regards to Cheltenham, we had a lot of rain on Monday. Had an awful lot of rain again yesterday. But I see that Cheltenham is still saying that it's good. I mean, you know, we had a very harsh summer that... ground went very hard at Cheltenham over the summer months. So imagine they were absolutely delighted to see the rain this week. And as you know, Cheltenham drains very well. So, yes, it's just all set for a fantastic weekend. Return to Cheltenham and that meeting down at Ascot is, you know, to be honest, if I didn't have, you know, if it wasn't Cheltenham this weekend, probably would go to Ascot.
Yeah. The reason I ask is we're going to focus on Cheltenham, but we're just going to talk a little bit about Ascot this weekend and significant... changes in the ground. It's soft at the moment, Ascot, and the story surrounding that would be that of Top Notch Tonto, who's currently a 12-1 shot, but was supplemented for the race at the cost of £70,000, with the hope that the rain would come, and the fact that it has makes him an interesting contender. I mean, Dawn Approach heads the betting at 2-1, Maxios and Olympic Glory both 9-2, and Soft Falling Rain. In fact, Gordon Law Byron's 11s, Top Notch Tonto is there at 12s, and then it's 14-1 for Elusive Kate, and 20-1 or bigger the rest. I mean, he's got a lot to make up on form. But with the ground being, it could turn out to be quite a leveller. Could you see him sneaking into it at 12-1?
Look, they have to be admired for going down there and taking a shot. And, well, to pay that kind of money, they obviously think he can. I personally, with the calibre of the field that's on display, now don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Top Notch Tonto. I think he's such a hilarious looking horse, isn't he, with his four white socks. And obviously he is going to appreciate this ground, but... When you look at this on official ratings, it's so you've got Dawn Approach on 125, Top Notch Tonto on 115. That said, I mean, I think the fact that Aiden's left King's Barnes in when he's taken all the others out, and King's only on 116. I would absolutely love to see this fella run into a place. I personally can't see it. You know, we'll talk about Dawn Approach in a minute. I think there's several in here that have whole sort of Elusive Kate. I think there's often sort of confusion with her, what is her preferred grounds, and she emptied sort of too rapidly for my liking last time out to sort of have any faith here. That obviously Gordon Lord Byron he's been in unreal form of late, and obviously touched off by the aeroplane that's Moonlight Cloud last time out on Ark Day. But just think, you've got Dawn Approach, you've got Maxios, who's going to, I mean, he's going to absolutely love the ground as well. You've got a race of this calibre. I just don't know. What's Top Notch Tonto? I mean, he's won a Group 3, hasn't he? But the level of form that's on offer here, I just think he'll just fall somewhere below that.
Okay. As you mentioned, then O'Brien has taken out a couple of his. There's no declaration of war or magician in the lineup. We're not going to see Tornado in the lineup either. So the weather is starting to take its toll on the race, but Dawn Approach remains in there. It's his final race of his career. He's going to be retired to stud after this. Do you think he'll go out on a winning note then?
Yeah, I do. I've been with Dawn Approach ever since his two-year-old days. I absolutely love him. I just think, I mean, he's tough. To lose his head like that in the Derby and then come out and fight in the St James's Palace, where, to be honest, things didn't really go all that well for him in the St James's Palace. I was actually there that day. Started to chuck his head in the air on the turn, got bumped on the straight. Sort of, you know, that takes a lot of resilience to come back after that sort of head-blowing run at Epsom and still get knocked around in the St James's Palace and fight Toronado all the way to the line. I think the tactics kind of played their part in the Sussex Stakes. It was very, very tactical. The pacemaking plans didn't go to plan. We only went down half a length to Toronado. I think the bar run, you can put a line through that, because he scoped badly after that, and he'd sort of been, you know, he'd had sort of three hard races in a row. He loves Ascot. He's been, you know, two trips to Ascot. I'm beating them both. Not too concerned about the ground with Dawn Approach. He has handled yielding ground in Ireland. To me, he is the winner. I know I touched on Gordon Lord Byron there. he's going to absolutely love the ground as well. But it is all about Dawn Approach for me. I think it's very interesting, like I said, that Kings Barnes is in it. He was reportedly lost his action at Leopardstown behind the Fuge. But, you know, it's... They're not going to chuck him in a race like this without thinking something of him, are they?
No, I don't think they'll bother with the trip over, would they?
No.
Yeah, so that's one of the highlights at Ascot on Saturday. There's plenty of others as well, a whole host of great races on Champions Day, but that's not why we're here on this podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing, and it's the first day of the season at Cheltenham as well. The showcase meeting gets underway, and we're going to look at three races, the 2:10, the 2:40, and the 3:15. And before we get underway with it, are you looking forward to Cheltenham, Catherine?
Yeah, I am, Mark. It's almost been a bit like a kid on Christmas Eve, to be honest. Just looking forward to the curtain coming up, season gets underway, and then before you know it, it's going to be March again. It's always nice to go back to your local track and just with a course like Cheltenham, and just, yeah, to walk through those gates tomorrow is it's going to be special.
Yeah, it should be a great curtain raiser for the new season at Cheltenham. And the first race that we're going to look at then is the 2:10. We start with a Neptune Investment Management Novices Hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, rather. Good lineup as well here. There's only 6 of them in the lineup, but you could probably make a case for most of them. Shall we start here with the chances of Sanrock for Paul Nicholls? Darrell Jacob will be in the saddle, and whilst he struggled a little bit last year, he's won all 3 starts in this calendar year.
Yeah, he has. He's been in great form over the summer. Obviously, last year he was brought down at Cheltenham in November. I think kind of struggled in the heavy ground. I mean, the ground at Kempton on Boxing Day was absolutely revolting, wasn't it? And you had to sort of see the slow motion finish to the King George to see how bad it was. Obviously, put away from then. Very good form over the summer. My one sort of doubt with Sanrock is he does love to hear his hooves rattle. Obviously, Charlton obviously still saying it's good ground. We have had a lot of rain. I think we are due more rain tomorrow. That to me is going to be a concern.
Yeah.
When you've got, I'm actually quite, there's 2 horses in here that I've been watching really since last season. First of all, Donald McCain's Clondor Draft. It was a 30-length winner of an Irish Point. Sort of that kind of his closest rival in that was Upsides Him, and he fell. We only saw him once last year, and sort of since then he's had pretty impressive wins at Bangor and Worcester. He was bought for £85,000, I believe, and I think he was bought with sort of smart novice hurdles in mind. Obviously, he's gone up a bit since the Bangor race, but you have to think a purchase like this has been the fact that they've kind of minded him almost. Races like this were on their mind when he was bought. Pure Science in there, horse that I think I mentioned on last week's podcast when he didn't take up the engagement at Newton Abbott. He was my eye catcher of the champion bumper. He sort of got outpaced on the turn from home and then stayed up the hill at pace. Really fancied him for the Aintree bumper, but he was withdrawn on the day. He could put a line through his air run. I know that this they think an awful lot of this fella, and I do too. Cloudbrook is quite an interesting purchase. He's an Irish point winner. Nice win at the Bangor Bumper just over a week and a half ago. I think this is a trappy little contest. We saw the new one win this last year and go on to win the race of the same name at the festival. But I think this is quite a nice race. I think Rum and Butter, he's been on the go all summer. I wouldn't kind of really have him in the sort of us really to go on and be looking towards March. Man of Leisure, I mean, he's had 14 starts since the start of the year. Just, I don't know, to me, it's going to be between Clondor Draft, Cloudbrook and Pines. And the only reason why I'm leaving Sandrock out of that is purely because I think that by tomorrow we might be looking at softer ground.
OK, so you think it's between Clondor Draft then and Pure Science in the end. Are you siding with Nigel Twiston Davis to do it again like you did with the new one, or would you take a chance?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I got so excited about this horse. I think my race card from the Wednesday at Cheltenham has just got a big red circle around Pure Science as my eye catcher. So, yeah, Pure Science.
OK. Pure Science then to follow in the hoof prints of the new one and take the opener at Cheltenham this season. On to the 240 next, and this is a novice's chase, a class 2 novice's chase over 2.5 miles, and unfortunately we've only got 3 of them in the lineup for this, but 3 that could be quite useful. Rebel Fitz, Takander Soy and Third Intention. How do you see this one going, Catherine?
I see it going to Rebel Fitz. Obviously the plan was to bring him over here to get a sighter at Cheltenham, obviously with the Arkle or the Juice in mind, and then put him away really sort of throughout the winter. I mean, I'm sure I read somewhere that he does prefer sort of top of the ground, but when you go back through his form, I mean, he won at Galway in this year. I mean, the ground in Galway was terrible. So I'm not too bothered if there is some cut for Rebel Fitz. I've been really very, very, very impressed with this fella's introduction to fences. He is probably on high on my list to war with the festival at this early stage. Definitely, I think something, I don't know about the Arkle, but to me, he sort of looks tailor-made for the Juicing. Obviously, the Juicing is a Grade 1 contest now. Takander Soy, I know they were really, really, really keen on this horse for the Neptune. Sort of, he ended up being beaten 17 lengths by the new one in the end. For some reason, I didn't actually fancy him for that. He's quite impressive in horrible ground, really, all last year. Just had a tussle Ascot to start off his season last year with My Tentle Yours. Obviously, My Tentle Yours, wonderful season, ended up finishing second in the Supreme and then just an emphatic winner at Aintree. I think he won the, if you get the name of the race right, the Challow at Newbury. He was pretty impressive in that. I know they think an awful lot of this horse, but I don't know why. I'm not convinced by him yet. I know that sounds ridiculous when you go back through his form, but I think he will make it into a decent chaser, but I just want to see a bit more from Third Intention. I mean, he always runs his race, but I don't know, it's not the most genuine individual. He just kind of chucks it sometimes up. He second last year to His Excellency and at Cheltenham, and I remember watching that race kind of stands, and he just doesn't want to sort of get there. He'll fight, but he just won't quite go through with it. I know that Rebel Fitz, he arrived at the beginning of the week, and yeah, it's Rebel Fitz for me. Obviously, you know, he's got to give a bit of weight to Takander Soy and Third Intention, but I think he's capable of it.
OK, Rebel Fitz then to continue his excellent run of form. It'll be 6 in a row if he wins this, I think. So we'll side with him there. Then and on to the 3:15 at Cheltenham, the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Series Qualifier, a Class 2 handicap over 3 miles. And you've got a line on track, mate, here, am I right?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting in James Evans' office here. I'm actually doing a series of features on James over this season. Trackmate, yeah, he's very well. He's strengthened up enormously over the summer. He's ready to run. They've done all that they can do. They are sort of basically, they're slightly worried if he will come down the hill, but you know, he looked, I first saw Trackmate about 6 months ago, and he was just after his Aintree win, and he was still sort of very, very tiny. And over the course of that 6 months, I've seen him put on an awful lot of muscle. He had a workout at Wolverhampton the other day where he didn't even blow. He's incredibly well. Can do nothing more. Like James has said to me this morning, he can do nothing more with him. He's done everything that he can do. The only worry is the ground. If the comes, that is not going to be to his liking. But he, you know, he's declared. It's just he's beaten, you know, a few of these. He's beaten on the bridge. He's beaten so fine. I think if he was from a bigger stable, he would actually be a lot shorter in the betting or the predicted betting than he actually is. I would be, if there wasn't the concern for the ground, I would be sort of very, very, very sweet on Trackmate. He's a little battler. He's got a heart of gold, but he's got the will to win. I think there are sort of one or two, obviously there are always going to be interesting contenders in a attempt qualifier, but Quillinton, I was actually working up in the studio this day, Mark, and there was a massive gamble on Quillinton before the Newton Abbott race, and he took an absolute horrendous crashing fall. He was beaten at the time, and the fact that they've come back to hurdles with him, he's off a very, very nice rate. Johnny Farrelly is obviously working wonders, and Desi Hughes obviously won the race last year, but he brings Rare Bob over. Now Rare Bob's actually contested he's an 11-year-old, but he's contested a couple of Grand Nationals, and sort of they're not bringing him over here for a holiday. Do you know what I mean? And so it's a 21er affair. Obviously, Captain Sunshine heads the weights, was second to Holywell in the final at the festival. But again, Captain Sunshine is a bit of a third intention. I want to see him doing a bit more. He just always seems to chuck it. But that said, Emma Lavelle, Gavin Sheehan have been in fantastic form so far this season. You've got poor old Restless Harry, who everyone will remember when he came down at the last in the Albert Bartlett in 2010. I expected sort of big things of Restless Harry, but look, he loves Cheltenham. He's obviously tried chasing, didn't quite work out well. You can actually make a case for practically every horse in this field. Sinbad the Sailor, beat Tarvini at Chepstow on the 1st of October, and I thought it was a wonderful ride from Trevor Whelan. It's I think the Gordon Elliott runner as well. It's a typical handicap hurdle, isn't it?
It is. Plenty in with chances. Which one are you going to side with? And I sense that you want to side with Trackmate.
I do want. Everything is screaming Trackmate to me, but I'll go with Trackmate, but I will be having half an eye on Quillinton.
Quillinton?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll let you have two in the field in that one if you want.
Okay.
Seeing as there are 20 then. Runners.
Let's go for Trackmate and Quillinton.
Right. Okay, let's have a quick summary then, if you wouldn't mind, Catherine, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Cheltenham one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. First race at Cheltenham, 2:10, will go with Pure Science. In the 2:40, we'll go with Rebel Fitz. And in the 3:15, I'm going to go with Trackmate as my main selection. But obviously, that is very much, if it's going to be absolutely him down tomorrow morning, then he's not going to like that at all. But I'm very interested to also see how Quillinton runs in that.
Okay, good stuff. Should be a great day at Cheltenham to get us underway this season. We'll be back at Cheltenham on Saturday as well, so two great days to look forward to. Are you going to be there, Catherine? Will you be at
Cheltenham? Working there both days, Mark. So, busy weekend, but a good weekend. I'm not sure I'll get much chance to see Ascot. I might have to watch it when I get back on Saturday night. But I'm looking forward to seeing Dawn approach in the QE2. I think he's gonna go out with a bang.
Good stuff. Well, thank you very much. Good luck with your selections at Cheltenham, and enjoy the action this weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.